Welcome back to the OU Shnai Mikra series and our study of Parshat Pekudei. This is Menachem Liptag, and in today's year we study Shvi, the seventh and final Aliyah of the Parsha, and also the end of Sefer Shmot. In our study today, we're going to bring conclusive proof to the approach of Ramban, who claims that the Mishkan's primary purpose was to be a perpetuation of Mamad Har Sinai, to take the experience of Har Sinai and perpetuate it for all future generations, and transferring that experience to the Mishkan. In his introduction to his commentary on Parshat Truma, he claims that that's the reason why the very first command that Moshe Rabbeinu receives when he goes up to Har Sinai after receiving the Ten Commandments is to get the Mishkan, because we're going to continue by way of the Mishkan and never have to leave Har Sinai. On the other hand, in our Shiurim thus far, we've also been supporting the approach of Rashi, who views the construction of the Mishkan as a type of kapara, a type of atonement, due to the events that happened with the sin of the golden calf. We mentioned this way back when we studied the appointment of Bezalel ben Uri ben Hur, the grandson of Hur, why he was appointed to be the person in charge of this entire construction process. We also use this to explain why Aaron has to bring a Korban Chatat during the 7 days of Miluim. We also use this to explain the parallel for why Bnei Yisrael have to collect gold and melt that gold into an image that will represent God, parallel to what happened at Chet HaEgel. And especially we use that to prove why was it so important for God's Shekhinah to return, why the emphasis on Vasu the Mikdash v'Shachanti B'tocham, the heavy emphasis on the Shekhinah returning to the Mishkan. We explained all those psukim based on the idea that God's Shekhinah had left them due to the sin of the golden calf, and now it was necessary to show God that we learned our lesson, hence by building the Mishkan that will enable God's Shekhinah to return. The problem is, both Ramban's approach thematically makes a lot of sense, as does Rashi's approach. But it can't be that both are right, because either the commandment to build the Mishkan was given before the sin of the golden calf, as Ramban claims, or after the sin of the golden calf, like Rashi explains. So how is it possible that both opinions make so much sense, but only one can be right? I'd like to suggest a solution where I can accept the thematic approach of Ramban, which we're going to follow in today's shir as well, yet accept the chronology according to Rashi, that indeed the commandment to build the Mishkan came after the sin of the golden calf. To do that, we have to make a distinction between a temporary portable temple and the permanent temple that will be built in the land of Israel after they conquer the land. Ideally, had the children of Israel not sinned with the golden calf, Moshe would have come down with the first Luchot. They could have left immediately from Mount Sinai and gone right to the land of Israel and conquered that land. And it could very well have been, had it not been for the sin of the golden calf, Am Yisrael would have gone to Israel right away, but that wouldn't mean there would not be a need for a temple. There would still be a need for a Mikdash. They could have built the Mikdash right away, but they would not have needed a temporary and portable Mishkan, but rather a permanent Mikdash, what Sefer Dvarim refers to as HaMakom Asher Yivchar Hashem L'Shaken Shmo Sham, the place that God would choose to make his reputation known. That could have been immediately the permanent temple, and there would never have been a need to build a portable and temporary Mishkan. That temple that would have been built in Yerushalayim had the conquest happened immediately and had Am Yisrael not sinned, all the key elements in that permanent temple could have fulfilled all the thematic points that the Ramban is raising about the Mishkan itself. In other words, that temple would have had an Aron, it would have had a Mizbeach, it would have had an Anktoret, it would have had all the imagery of Mamad Har Sinai. It could have served as a perpetuation of the events of Har Sinai. But it did not have to be portable, because it would have captured the land right away and lived an ideal existence in the land of Israel. Because of the sin of Chet HaEgel, Am Yisrael was now unable to enter the land right away, and surely the conquest would not happen so fast. Because of the sin of the golden calf, God realized the nation isn't ready yet to enter the land. Now they have to go through some rehabilitation. What did God decide to do? God decided, because they won't be entering the land of Israel so fast, and they need rehabilitation for the sin of the golden calf, I'm going to allow them to build me a portable and temporary temple, now called a Mishkan. And by building that Mishkan, that will show me that they really want me to return and be in their midst. And in the manner which they build the temporary Mikdash, that will be an atonement for the sin of the golden calf. In other words, I can follow the approach of Ramban, that the primary purpose of the temple is to perpetuate Mamad Har Sinai. That's fine. And everything he says about the Mishkan would apply to a Mikdash as well. The need for portable temporary Mishkan, the need for portable and temporary Mikdash, which we now call the Mishkan, only arose because of the sin of the golden calf. Unfortunately, in the book of Bamidbar, there are additional sins that delay the travel even longer. But the need for the temporary portable Mishkan was because of the sin of the golden calf. The need for a temple in general is to perpetuate Mamad Har Sinai. If that's the case, why would Chumash record the events out of place? We could suggest a reason that would solve the problem totally. Why would Chumash take the commandment to build a Mishkan that was given after the sin of the golden calf and record it out of place before the sin of the golden calf? The answer I'd like to suggest would support the thematic approach of Ramban, even though it's following the chronological order of Rashi. Our suggestion is as follows. Had Chumash recorded the commandment to build a Mishkan when it was given after the sin of the golden calf, the reader may have reached the conclusion that the only reason for the Mishkan is rehabilitation and atonement for the golden calf, and may have missed entirely the connection between the Mishkan and Mamad Har Sinai. In order to emphasize and highlight the thematic connection of the Mishkan to Har Sinai, and the fact that the Mishkan or the Mikdash is going to perpetuate Mamad Har Sinai, Chumash takes the commandment, even though it was given later, and juxtaposes it to the covenant at Mount Sinai, in Perach Avdalet in chapter 24, in order to highlight the thematic connection. In other words, what we're saying is the reason why Chumash is out of order following Rashi's approach is in order to highlight the Ramban's thematic approach, even though, in reality, the actual chronological order would follow Rashi's approach. However, the very concept of a Mikdash is something we would have had even had it not been for the sin of Chet HaEgel, because this Mikdash would perpetuate Mamad Har Sinai. And that way, both Ramban and Rashi can be correct, and that's why we've been following in our Shiurim both approaches. With that in mind, let's continue now with our study of the final Psukim of Parsha Pekudei, and we'll see how this will tie in to the conclusion of the book of Shemot. We're going to pick up where we left off in yesterday's Aliyah, as Moshe Rabbeinu was assembling the Mishkan exactly as God has commanded him. That phrase repeated over and over again. Tei will have the majestic finale, and we'll try to understand how happy an ending does the book come to. Pasuk Chavchet, verse 28, at the end of chapter 40. Vayasem et masach ha-petach la-mishkan. Now Moshe Rabbeinu sets up the partition that formed the screen that protected the entry to the Mishkan. But Mizbach Ola, Sam Petach Mishkan Ohomoid, now they take the Mizbach Ola, the Mizbach Nechoshet, and put it in front of the entrance to the Mishkan Ohomoid. Vayal Alav Et Ola Veta Mincha. Then the Mizbach was ready now to offer upon it the Korban Ola and the Mincha. Kasher Tziva Adonai Et Moshe, just again as God commanded Moshe. Vayasem Et HaKior Ben Ohomoid Oben HaMizbach. Now Moshe places the Kior, the washing basin, between the tent of meeting and the altar, and he put into the kior water for the kohanim to wash their hands. From this kior, Moshe, Aaron, and his sons washed their hands and their feet. Every time they would come into the Ohel Moed, or when they would go to offer sacrifices on the Mizbeach, it was necessary to wash their hands. Kasher tziva Adonai et Moshe, again, exactly as God commanded Moshe. Vayakam et hachatzer saviv lamishkan v'lamizbeach. Now that all the vessels of the courtyard are in place, it's time to put up the partition surrounding it, called the chatzer, the klaim, and the amudim, everything around. Vayitein et masach shar chatzer. That was finished, and they put up the partition, the screen, guarding the entrance to the chatzer. And again, the word like Vayichulu, Vayichal Moshe et hamlacha. Now Moshe had completed all the work, just like the 7 days of creation are complete. Now all the work for assembling the Mishkan is complete as well. What are we waiting for? Is this assembly going to work? In other words, will God's Shekhinah rest as God had commanded Moshe, Va'asu li mikdash v'shachanti b'tocham? Will God's Shekhinah return? That's what we're all waiting for. The korbanot Am Yisrael had to bring for that Shekhinah to return are described in Parshat Shemini, but the actual resting of the Anan on the Mishkan we're going to read now in Pasuk Lamed Daled. Vaychas Hanan et Ohel Moed, the cloud came down and covered the tent of meeting. Uchvod Adonai maleh et Mishkan, God's glory filled the Mishkan. This Pasuk should not surprise us. In fact, this Pasuk is the strongest proof to the Ramban's approach, which we've been studying all along, that the Mishkan is a perpetuation and a continuation of Mount Sinai. If you look at the end of Perach Avdalet, again at the end of Parshat Mishpatim, which we've referred to over and over again in our study of Vayakob Kudei, in Perach Avdalet, Pasuk Tedvav, there it says, Vaya Moshe Lahar, Vaychas Hanan et Ahar, Vayishkon Kvod Hashem Ahar Sinai, There, Kvod Hashem is on Har Sinai. The Anan covers the mountain in a similar manner, just as Kvod Hashem was on Har Sinai, and the Anan was covering Har Sinai. Now, by Chas Anan at Ohel Moed, the same Anan now covers the Tent of Meeting, and Kvod Hashem is on the Mishkan, just like it was in Har Sinai. The parallel was obvious, as Ramban points out in his commentary at the beginning of Parshat Truma. But now something is different. At the end of Parshat Mishpatim, after the cloud covered the Mishkan, Vayikra Hashem El Moshe, Moshe was called upon by God on the seventh day, waiting to go up to Har Sinai. And then we're told, Vayivo Moshe Betoch Hanan, Vayal Ahar. God called upon Moshe, and Moshe entered and went into the Anan and went up the mountain. Here we have something that sounds a little bit different. Pasuk Lamed Hei, V'lo yecho Moshe levo el ohel moed, ki shachan alav Hanan, uchvod Adonai maleh et Mishkan. Even though God's glory was on the Mishkan and the Anan covered it, Moshe was not able to enter the ohel moed because of the Anan. What should happen? What should happen is, if it's parallel to Mamad Har Sinai, God should call Moshe to enter, and Moshe Rabbeinu should be able to enter the ohel moed, and God should speak to him there. For some reason, it doesn't say that in the end of Sefer Shemot. Instead, we hear about something else. Pasuk Lamed Vav, Uveyalot Anan Me'al HaMishkan Yisu Bnei Yisrael, L'chol Masehem. Now that the Anan is resting on the Mishkan, there's no reason to wait anymore, and Am Yisrael can now travel to the land of Israel. But they had to wait for the Anan to go up and ascend from the Mishkan. Afterwards, Bnei Yisrael could travel wherever they had to travel to on the way to Israel. Vim lo ye'ale Hanan, if the Anan did not go up, V'lo Yisu ad yom he'aloto. Am Yisrael would not travel until the Anan would go up to lead them. Why? Ki Anan Adonai al Mishkan yomam. Because this cloud of God was on the Mishkan all day long, the Eish Tialai Labo, and would look like fire at night, covering the Mishkan just like it did at Har Sinai. Leinei Cho Beit Yisrael b'chol masehem. In the eyes of Israel, when they were looking at the Mishkan, they saw this cloud and this fire, just like they saw at Har Sinai. B'chol masehem, whenever they traveled, this was the view they had of the Mishkan. We ended Sefer Shemot, but Moshe Rabbeinu can't go in. Did something go wrong? If you look at this parallel carefully, and do a little bit of footwork, you'll see the ending is not as sad as it looks. Because even though it said in Pasuk Lamed Hei that Moshe could not go into the Ohel Moed because of the Anan, and we would expect God to call him in, just like God did at Har Sinai. Take a look again at the end of Perek Avdalad and the end of Shemot. There it says, Vayishkon Kvod Hashem al Har Sinai v'chasei onan shesh tamim v'yikra Moshe b'yom hashvi mitoch Anan. Moshe was waiting, and then God called Moshe in, and then Moshe entered the Har. In order for Sefer Shemot to have a happy ending, we're waiting for Hashem to call Moshe in order to enter the Anan and enter the Ohel Moed. That pasuk that we're looking for is not at the end of Sefer Shemot. However, if we flip a page, it's exactly the opening pasuk of Sefer Vayikra. Vayikra Moshe, Vayidaber Adonai Elav Me'ohel Moed Lemor. The pasuk that we're waiting for and hoping for at the end of Sefer Shemot, Chumash saves as the opening pasuk for the book of Vayikra. Indeed, God's Shekhinah returned to the Mishkan. The Anan was over the Mishkan. Moshe is about to enter, but Moshe cannot enter God's realm until God calls upon him that it's okay to enter, just like he did at Har Sinai. Now, in the beginning of Vayikra, indeed, God calls upon Moshe. Moshe enters. What was the purpose of entering the Mishkan? God would talk to Moshe Rabbeinu from the Kaporet on top of the Aron, and that's exactly what happens in the beginning of Vayikra. Not only does God call Moshe in and say, you are welcome now, God speaks to Moshe Rabbeinu and tells him, the first point is, not only can you enter, should any member of Am Yisrael want to enter and come close to God and visit me in this tabernacle, you are permitted, but if you come, don't come empty-handed. If you want, you can bring a voluntary offering, a korban adava, you can bring an olah, you can bring a mincha, you can bring a shlamim. The details we'll find in Parshat Vayikra. How to bring the korbanot we'll find in Parshat Tzav. Should we do something wrong and want to say we're sorry, it was unintentional, we have Korbanot Chova, Achatat and Nasham. All those details we'll find in the book of Vayikra. We'll also find out how you have to prepare before entering the Mishkan. Just like we had to prepare before standing at Har Sinai, we have to be Tahor. And if someone is Tameh, if someone's not ready or prepared to enter the Mishkan, we have to wait either for a day or for 7 days and go through a special purification process to get ready. Those details were also being Sefer Vayikra. And also in Sefer Vayikra, we're going to find out that because God's Shekhinah is resting on the Mishkan at the center of our camp, because God's Shekhinah is at the center, this will have an effect that the entire land of Israel will be elevated to a certain level of Kedusha. Hence, we have to act in a special way, as will be described in the Parsha of Kedoshim to you, because you have been set aside to serve me. You have to act now in a special way. Those details will be found in Kedoshim to you, and Sefer Vayikra will be the book of Kedusha. On the other hand, at the end of Sefer Bamidbar, we don't only find about the Shekhinah resting on the Mishkan, we also find out about Am Yisrael traveling by the Anan. The last three lines of the book, when the Anan would go up, Am Yisrael would travel. And when it wouldn't go up, they would wait. We have those exact same details, almost those precise psukim, later on in Sefer Bamidbar, in Parsha Balotcha, in chapter 9 in Sefer Bamidbar, beginning in Pasuk Tetvav, we have almost a repeat, and even more detail of this idea. And what we find is at the end of Sefer Shemot, we have a double pointer. The end of Sefer Shemot leads beautifully right into Sefer Vayikra, and the end of Sefer Shemot also leads right into Sefer Bamidbar. And there's a very good reason. After the sin of the golden calf, God threatened to take his Shekhinah away, and God, for a certain amount of time, left his people and was only with Moshe. Because God's Shekhinah was not with us, we could not continue traveling to the land of Israel. Moshe said, we're not going unless you come back. So our travel was being held up because of the Shekhinah being away. Also, without the Shekhinah, there are no more commandments. There's no Kedusha. We can't be a nation representing God if God is not willing to dwell with us. So the whole process of giving over the Torah, the commandments about Kedusha, that was also being held back. Before God will bring his Shekhinah back, Am Yisrael is commanded to build a Mishkan, Vasu l'Mikdash v'Shachanti b'Tocham. Am Yisrael dedicates several months to the construction and assembly of the Mishkan. Finally, it's assembled. It works. God's Shekhinah comes down on the Mishkan. Now that we've solved the problem of Chet Egel, God's Shekhinah has returned. We can continue the process of Matan Torah. God can continue to give us mitzvot of how to act as a nation representing God. We can also continue in our journey to the land of Israel. The laws that we receive now, because God's Shekhinah is in our midst, now we can visit Him, and now we represent Him. Those laws we find in the book of Vayikra, Torat Kohanim, and the book of Kedusha. Now that God's Shekhinah has returned, we can travel to the land of Israel. The details of how we prepare for that travel, and how we should have gone to the land of Israel, and why we didn't make it, and finally how we prepare in the second generation to make it, that will be the laws and the stories in the book of Bamidbar. So with this, we conclude our study of Sefer Shemot. As we say, Chazak, Chazak, V'nit Chazak. Thank you for studying and listening to these shiurim. Everyone should have a Shabbat Shalom and a continued Hatzlacha in their study of Torah.